And welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Dr. Diana Greer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Tonight, guests are Sharon Long and Ray Lynn. And we met Sharon and Ray Lynn at Fountain Grove Lodge. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to hearing their story.
Yes, we want to know all about Fountain Grove Lodge. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners want to know as well. And we also would love to learn about your relationship. So before we ask all those questions, however, we do have news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia.
I have found Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for the week of August 6th, 2017. The Commandant of the United States Coast Guard is pushing back against President Trump's surprise ban on transgender service members announced last week in an early morning tweet. While details about the policy haven't been flushed out, and no guidance has been given to the military, Admiral Zukunt said he will not turn his back on transgender Coast Guardsmen. Speaking at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, the Admiral told the crowd, as soon as he was aware of Trump's tweets, he instructed his office to reach out to the 13 Coast Guardsmen who've been self-identified as transgender. He said, quote, "I reached out personally to Lieutenant Taylor Miller, who was featured on the cover of the Washington Blade last week." The Admiral said to the crowd, "If you read the story, Taylor's family has disowned her. Her family is the United States Coast Guard, and I told Taylor I will not turn my back. We've made an investment in you, and you've made an investment in the Coast Guard, and I will not break faith." End quote. 56 retired generals and admirals are also adding their voice to the opposition. The former military leaders are pushing back in a public statement released last week saying, quote, "President Trump seeks to ban transgender service members because of the financial cost and disruption associated with transgender military service. We respectfully disagree and consider these claims to be without merit," end quote. And a federal judge last week set aside objections from the Justice Department and ordered the FBI to conduct a new search for decades-old documents about U.S. government programs to purge the federal workforce of gays and lesbians. The ruling last Friday by Judge Royce Lamberth was hailed by gay rights groups as a major victory in an effort to uncover long-buried historical records showing that in the height of the McCarthy era in the 1950s, the U.S. government targeted homosexuals as a threat to national security pursuant to Executive Order 10450 signed by President Dwight Eisenhower in April of 1953. An estimated 7,000 to 10,000 gay and lesbian federal workers lost their job in the 1950s alone as a result of this executive order. And the state of Arkansas asked a judge last week to block enforcement of a city ordinance that bans discrimination on sexual orientation or gender identity, months after the state's highest court ruled the measure violated a law aimed at prohibiting local LGBT protections. Arkansas State Attorney General Leslie Rutledge and a group opposed to Fayetteville's anti-discrimination ordinance asked the Washington Circuit Judge Doug Martin to issue a preliminary injunction against the measure. The state Supreme Court in February reversed a ruling that the ordinance didn't violate a state law prohibiting cities from enacting protections not covered by state law. Arkansas's civil rights law does not cover sexual orientation or gender identity. And here locally, Private Lives, Private Lies, the original play written by our own Dr. Diana Greer, will be performed next weekend in Healdsburg at the Raven Theater on Saturday, August 12th at 7 p.m. and then again on Sunday, August 13th at 2 p.m. This production is being sponsored by Santa Rosa's PFLAG. You can learn more and get tickets for this amazing play at PrivateLivesPrivateLies.com. And once again, Santa Rosa JC and Napa Valley College are both offering courses this fall in LGBT Studies. An Introduction to LGBT Studies course starts on August 14th at Napa Valley College. You can register now at NapaValley.edu. And an LGBT literature course starts on Monday, August 21st at Santa Rosa JC. You can register now at santarosa.edu. For a calendar of LGBT news and events happening here in the North Bay, go to gaysonoma.com. And for all the latest LGBT news headlines we're following, go to our website at outbeatnews.com. For KRCB's Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia.
Outbeat Radio News, your source for LGBT news from the North Bay and beyond.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof with Diana and Sheridan, and we're in studio this evening with Sharon Long and her wife, Raylynn. Welcome back. Hello.
Hello. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Uh-huh. Good. Yeah. So we are very curious about life at Fountain Grove Lodge. We have not had too many people on our show who live at Fountain Grove Lodge. So would one of you, maybe Sharon, would you explain what Fountain Grove Lodge is and then how you came to live there?
Absolutely. It's a very unique place to live because it's LGBTQ friendly. And that's how it was designed. That was what it was meant to be. Are there straight people living there? Yes. And we all coexist wonderfully. It's amazing that you can have 100 people all together and everybody be so friendly and willing to help one another. What kind of sold us on it was partly because it wasn't totally all LGBTQ. We wanted it to be realistic. The world is mixed. And that's what we wanted. It's about probably 60-40 split, more LGBTQ than straight, but it's a great mix. We actually saw it with our cousins. We were up visiting them. They lived in Healdsburg, and they said, "You want to go to this brunch with us at this lodge?" And
at this lodge,
yeah.
Okay.
And we're going, "Oh, okay, we'll go." You know, we had nothing else to do. We were flying home that afternoon. You know?
And so, where was home?
Home is Southern California. Okay. Orange County.
Okay. Oh, so, Orange County.
Yeah, yeah.
Lovely place to live when you're lesbian and married.
And that's exactly why we got married in Santa Rosa.
Oh,
yes. Well, we want to know more about that too.
Sure,
so
do.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
So, we went to Fountain Grove Lodge and to the brunch, looked at this place, and this was about, what, 2 years ago?
About 2 years ago.
Because we've lived there now for a little over a year the end of May. And it hit us that we're getting to that age where we need to start thinking about what are we going to do, because we have no children, when we get older and we need help. Not that we need help now by any means, but we were looking to the future. And this was just a beautiful place to live. It looks like a lodge. You know, it makes you think of Yosemite, the lodge there. And it's just, it's beautiful. But the main thing is the people. It's a great mix of people.
Mm. What's your experience, Raylynn, living there?
Well, to me, this is just that everyone is so friendly. So it takes me back to my childhood when you knew everybody on the block and you knew them by name. Well, that's the feeling that I get there, because you see people walking down the halls and you know their name, and everyone is friendly. Everyone says hello, calls you by name. It's just a great feeling.
It sounds like it's a built-in community for you.
Yes.
Oh, it is. Mm-hmm. It very much is. And there's so much to do. And we can't even discuss the food. I mean, is like amazing five-star chef.
Well, let's talk about so much to do.
Yes.
And then let's talk about the food.
Got it.
Because those are two separate things that are huge, right? They're a huge draw for people to want to live at Fountain Grove. So let's talk about what there is to do. What kind of things have you done there?
Well, actually, I'm the chairman of the activities committee, I've become very active in lots of committees. It took me a couple of months, but I finally started getting into stuff. And next thing I know, I'm so busy now that I don't have time to do anything else. But you know, we play bocce ball, we have poker, we have mahjong, we have summer concerts where, you know, people are invited to dinner. They serve dinner. They have a band or group that plays. People get up and dance and just have a wonderful time. And we have activities all the time. You know, the month of June was Gay Pride Month, and they decorate for the entire month, and we have a party on one of the days, and lots of people are invited to come and enjoy the festivities.
And when you say lots of people are invited to come, do you mean lots of people who live at Fountain Grove are invited to come?
Well, all the people at Fountain Grove are welcome to come, but you can also invite friends and relatives. There are people who now are on the waiting list to come to Fountain Grove that are also invited. So they can see if this is a place they want to live and, you know, start meeting people and enjoying all the activities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very interesting.
Wow.
So when you said you're activities chair and you don't have time for anything else, what else is there that you would do if you were not activity chair?
Well, I do have, I started doing jewelry making. So I found it was something I really enjoy doing. It's relaxing to me. So in my spare time, when I have some, that's what I do, is I do some jewelry making. And, of course, I'm participating in a lot of the activities mm-hmm. there at the lodge. But that's what I enjoy doing in my spare time.
Great. Nice. And Raylan, what about you? What committees are you on?
Well, I'm not on any committees. I had enough of that at work. So, so they just have all kinds of different activities. Like they have, several times a week, they'll take you out and they'll take you to beautiful places to go on hikes and to have picnics. And my mom comes along with me. We just have it's just something that, you know, that we can do together and just get out into the environment and in nature.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
And just being around the lodge when we take our dogs for a walk, there's deer, there's wild turkey. You just never know what you're going to see when you're just walking along the street.
Oh, wonderful. So okay, good. So let's go back to the comment that Sharon made about the wedding being in Santa Rosa. I'm so curious about that. Not Orange County, but here in Santa Rosa. Tell us about that.
Well, we knew it would be a lot friendlier up here in Northern California than in Orange County in particular. Again, our cousins lived up here, and they got married up here. So we decided when we had that little brief period in 2008 where we could get married, that's what we did. We spoke to our cousins, and they said they were getting married and explained to us the benefits of that. And so we just kind of went, well, maybe we should do it. Hmm. You know, at that point, we'd been together for 32 years, so...
Whoa.
Wow. 32.
It was 41 this last January.
Whoa.
Altogether.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Thank you.
We can't wait to get into that.
Yeah. Cool.
Diana, we met someone who's been together longer than we have been.
I know. We have him 40 this year.
Well, congratulations. Good for you.
We have the over 40 club.
I know, yeah, right?
We'll be
right.
The founding members, the four
Any
of us.
Any others out there, please let us know.
Yeah, we're going to start a new
then
club.
Then we have
everybody.
A little party, a little club. There you go. So let's jump right into, Jerry, you ready to move?
No, I'm not ready, Diana, okay. Because Raylan mentioned something that I'd really like to explore because you wanted to go back. So I do too. I want to go back to your comment about your mom. Because you said that you bring your mom when you go hiking and stuff. So where does your mom live?
She lives with us.
Aha.
Yes.
Can you say more about that? Yeah.
Well, you know, my dad died in 2014. Mm-hmm. So she'd been living alone since he died. But then, we came up here and we found this place. And I thought, well, you know, this would be wonderful for her because And I think it has been because she just kind of just blossomed. I mean, everybody calls her mom. Everybody that sees her calls her mom. Uh-huh. So, and she just loves that. And so it's and she plays bocce ball with us, and she's really good at it.
Does she beat you?
Sometimes she does. Yes. So
you all three of you live together in one apartment, or
in one apartment. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a 2-bedroom apartment, and she has her own bedroom and her own bathroom. Mm-hmm. And we're just having a great time.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. What a, I don't know. I want to say like a generous gesture on your part, but I know it's more than being generous because you love your mom and your mother-in-law. But
absolutely,
that's quite wonderful to involve her in your life and be so intimate with her. I mean, she's living right with you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, she was at the point where she just couldn't live alone anymore. So, and Fountain Grove, it's wonderful because if one of us really gets sick, all you have to do is press a button and somebody's going to be there to take care of us. And that's just takes a real load off of my mind.
Right. Right. Oh, that's fabulous.
And she was like a second mother to me. My mother passed away in 1985. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of, you know, nobody can step into your mother's shoes, but she's done a good job trying. So, Ray Lynn sometimes says, I think mom likes you best.
I say that too. I said that too. And my mom was a lot. I think she likes her a lot. So that's cute. That's nice. Yeah.
So that must mean that your mom is open to your relationship. How did that all evolve?
Well, there's the question. I mean,
we never discussed it, actually.
No, we never really discussed it, actually. But, you know, she knows. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And she's accepting because she accepts her as her daughter. So, you know, are we really intimate in front of her? No, we're not.
Yeah, we respect, you know, her feelings as well. And what's interesting is she didn't know we were married until last year. We went to our financial advisor and she was with us. And I just knew the financial advisor was going to ask us if we were married. And she did. And I said yes. And mom said, I didn't know that.
I'm not even sure she knew what we were talking about, but
she knew.
Yeah, she knew. Yes.
Let's say, how old is your mother?
My mother is 87.
Okay, and it sounds like she has all her brains and everything's
faculties.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. It's interesting. I mean, Diana and I didn't really say the L word to her mother either, and her mother knew, and her mother accepted us. I mean, I don't know if it's something that you need to really have a long, drawn out conversation. But I am surprised that you've never had a conversation about it. Like, when it's your anniversary, does your mom give you an anniversary card?
I don't think she knows when our anniversary is.
No.
I'm just curious, did she respond, though, when she said, I didn't know you were married? I mean, how did she
That's all she said.
All she said.
And then I kind of threw our cousins under the bus and said, well, they're married, too.
Oh, so your cousins... Excuse me. Yeah. You keep talking about. They're lesbians or gay men? Yeah.
And they live at Fountain Grove Lodge also.
Oh.
It's a real family affair.
Wow.
Now, her cousins invited them to Fountain Grove Lodge. Uh-huh.
So do you all live close by each other?
Actually, we're kind of at opposite ends but
building.
It's not that far. We see one another quite often, and you know, it's great. In fact, Raylan's cousin Tony said she grew up always wanting to live with Raylan.
Oh.
Or by her, you know.
You guys were close.
Yeah, yes, we were close as smaller children. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, as you know, high school, then we went away to college and kind of grew apart.
Mm-hmm. And now you're back together.
Yes, and now we're back together again.
Wow. So two couples, both lesbians, both living at Fountain Grove Lodge, and then one couple has their mother and mother-in-law living with them, which is the cousin's aunt, or?
Yes.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, my mother was her father's sister.
Sister. Okay. So, fabulous. Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. Good. Wow, that's some nice history we just received. So let's talk more about your relationship. How about we go into that and jump into 41 years before? So who saw who first?
Well, we met in college. You know, and it was probably 1972, I think, is when we met. Probably 72, I think that was the year, at Cal State Long Beach. We were both physical education majors. Uh-huh. And, you know, we just kind of started having, you know, taking classes together, hanging out together. And we just became really close. Our families became close. I loved her mom and dad. They treated me just like I was their daughter. When we graduated from college, Sharon wasn't quite, I don't think she really had a clue, but she was going on a vacation with another friend of ours. And so I decided, I got to get invited on this vacation. So I wormed a invitation on the vacation. And what it was we traveled by car to Kansas, where this friend of ours lived. And we stayed there. We stayed a month in Kansas with her family. And we came back and we just kind of we started working at the same place. We started working at a small bus company called Pine Tree Transportation. It was a school bus company. And then her parents moved away. They retired and they moved up to Clear Lake. And so we moved in together. And that's how it all started.
So you moved in together. So that was like a snap of the finger, or how did that happen? It was magical. I mean, like, tell me what happened, Sharon.
Well, since my parents were moving away from me,
uh-huh. Yes,
and I had no place to go.
poor baby.
Anyway, I don't even remember how I don't know whether I asked Ray Lynn if she wanted to, you know, get an apartment together. She knew long before I did that we were going to be a couple. So we ended up, before my mom and dad moved, we moved into an apartment in Long Beach. Certainly a lot more gay friendly in Long Beach than I grew up in Lakewood, and Ray Lynn grew up in Torrance. So
she had her eye on you.
Yes, she did.
Uh-huh. And so you going to tell us about that, Ray Lynn?
I don't know. You know, you just spend time with somebody and, you know, and you just say, well, you know, this is the person I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Wow.
And that's just how it kind of came about.
So did you say, what words did you use? I want you to spend the rest of my life. I mean, your life with me, or what?
Well,
our lives together,
actually,
or what?
When we moved in, you know, there
were
was
you, like, were you intimate already? Or
no,
like, come
no,
on,
we weren't intimate yet. And so when we moved in together, it was like it was kind of this posturing going on, you know. And finally, it was just like, okay, you know, I'm gay. She said, yeah, so am I. let's the.
So before you moved in together, when you were hanging out and you guys just met in college and you were just going to all your classes together and your moms treated you like daughters,
yes.
You never came out to each other.
No.
No.
Oh.
No.
And how long were you friends before you moved in together? A year or?
Oh, but let's see.
No, probably
about 4 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And no boyfriends.
No.
No.
And you were happy about that, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
But you never talked about it. That's really intriguing.
Uh-huh. Well, and there was a whole group of us that always hung out together.
Always hung out
so
together.
It was, you know, it was just the group did all these things together.
And knowing amongst y'all. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, the usual college, you know, stuff, you know, parties and all of that.
And no one mentions anything, but everybody kind of just like they're. That's how it was for me too when I was coming out. I played on the softball team. We always had parties together.
Yep.
We always hung out together. No mention of anything. I don't even know if anybody knew what was going on. I sure did not.
Well, you know, you look at, she says she has gaydar. I really don't. But you knew that we had this group of women and they're always hanging together. Well, you knew that, well, okay, we're all the same. we may not come in and put a word to it, but we're comfortable with each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Well, in fact, Raylan didn't know her cousin who lives at Fountain Grove with us was gay. And I knew. I think she was afraid that the family was going to blame her because she's older.
Oh. Well, it's just like, you know, I mean, I knew my whole family had to know that I was gay. I mean, from the time I was a little tiny kid, I never wanted to wear anything but, you know, blue jeans and tennis shoes. And when they put a dress on me, I'd scream. So when she's telling, I'm thinking, oh no, now they're going to blame it on me.
Wow. Well, how is it, Sharon, that you knew that her cousin was gay, but Raylan didn't know her cousin was gay?
Well, I don't know if she, I don't think she wanted to know.
Yeah, no.
Probably more so, but I always thought she was.
You know, for me, I don't think I've ever really thought about people in terms of sexuality. I just thought about people and how they treated me and whether we, you know, whether I could get along with them or not. But sexuality never really came into it for me. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was because it was, I was just so confused about it myself, you know, it's just not a big thing for me.
Mm-hmm. Actually, her cousin said she wishes I had told her
Why
because
is that?
She didn't know at the time. I think she was struggling.
She must have, like I said, we had grown apart for, you know, when she came up to the Bay Area to go to college, and she stayed here. I can understand why. It was just probably more comfortable for her. But I think she probably went through some, you know, some real struggles for a while.
Mm-hmm. We were both very lucky to work for companies that were very accepting.
Well, that's good. I don't know. I just felt the surge of sadness for a moment there when you mentioned that she, your cousin, wished that she had, for Raylan to have known, because she seemed like she was somewhat alone. And I just felt that, you know, that
right.
surge of sadness, like, wow, how important it is for all of us to try and be models and come out for those other people who might be struggling, you know? So, yeah, that's interesting.
Especially our young people.
Yeah.
It's really important that they know that we've all gone through the struggle, but they'll make it. They'll get through it. They'll find themselves. Always be true to who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, important words. Thank you.
You know, I can probably say this. When I was in high school, was not a good time for me. Let's face it, in high school, I mean, I was who I was and I wasn't going to hide from anybody. So I had some, I don't know, some real things that I had to deal with, you know, people calling me names, shoving me downstairs, spitting on me. I mean, the whole, anything you could think of, they were just downright mean. But once I got out to the, got out of high school and into the college situation, all it seemed to just change. And it was just such a relief, that I could finally just go ahead and be myself and nobody was going to, make me feel bad about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So was that mostly your young peers or were
Yes, you, the young peers.
No,
young
no,
peers.
No adults were there to support or.
Well, was I going to. Was I going to say something? I just no. That was just not the thing that I was going to be comfortable doing. I mean, back in the '60s, You just didn't talk about it. And there was certainly nowhere that I could go to feel comfortable to talk about it to someone.
So you just kind of held it all in and suffered.
Yeah, right.
Well, how did you get through? I mean, you didn't have adults. You didn't have anybody to talk to.
Just every day. Just every day. You just do what you have to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And then actually it got better. In my senior year, it was better. I don't know whether the, you know, and quite frankly, I know why, because there was a group, and they were male athletes, and this is an unfortunate story, but they had gone to a bunch of them had gone to I don't know where it was, Palm Springs or something like that, on a spring break, and they were all killed in a car accident. So all of that stopped. I mean, it truly stopped when they were no longer there. You know, I really feel bad about that, but you know, in retrospect, as I think about it, but it was just kind of relief for me not having to deal with them anymore.
Oh wow, so sad. I'm pretty stunned. You know, I feel so sad for them, and yet something good came out of it, which is makes me sad to even say.
Yeah, yes, you know? right.
But how much power they had at school.
Yes, power. I mean, truly. Wow. I mean, you know, pretty much basically, I just wanted to disappear. I just wanted to hide, you know.
Well, we have a music break coming up. And, you know, you're talking about you just wanted to hide. And this is way back in the day in high school. So we know it's not that way now. But you all brought a beautiful song that I'd like, Sharon, if you wouldn't mind introducing.
Well, we wanted to pick a song that we thought was appropriate for us as well as many others. And that song is I'm Coming Out.
And who's singing it?
Diana Ross.
All right.
Yes.
Let's take a listen. We love this song.
Oh, my word. I love it.
If you just joined us, we are Diana and Sheridan, and we are Living Proof. And in studio, we have Sharon and Raylin, wives since 2008, but together over 41 years. So we are talking a little bit about their story and how they met and what they were dealing with. Raylin was just talking about dealing with a lot of horrible bullying at school when she was in high school. And so, Sharon, how were your years in high school?
Well, I think because I participated in some of the sports, it wasn't quite as bad. I mean, I wasn't in the so-called in crowd, but, you know, it wasn't as bad as what Raylin went through. And as we all know, in that era, the jocks were ruled the school pretty much. And luckily, I went to a school where there wasn't as much of that bullying and that kind of stuff. So I feel very fortunate, but I know there are still kids today that are going through that and shouldn't have to.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And where did you go to school, high school?
I went to high school in Lakewood, in Southern California, Mayfair High School. It was part of the Bellflower Unified School District.
And what about you, Raylan? Where did you go to school?
I went to school in the city of Torrance, Torrance High School.
And that's down in Southern California,
yes.
Also. And then what college did you all meet at?
Long Beach State.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And what careers? Because you say you both did PE, physical ed. I'm just curious, are you?
Yeah, but when we graduated, there were no teaching jobs.
Oh.
I think out of our class, maybe 2-3 people got jobs. So it was just during that period in 1974 when teaching jobs were scarce. So we ended up, doing driving a school bus. I did it for like about a year and a half, and then I went into supervisor and kind of built that up. Worked there for 10 years, and then I went on the public side to the Orange County Transportation Authority. And worked there for 29 years.
Uh-huh.
So I stayed in transportation. Raylan didn't. She moved on to working for oil companies. So,
what did you do, Raylan?
Well, there was the in college. I mean, I did all kinds of different things. I worked for a company that made makeup mirrors. Another, I worked for a plastics company that injection molding, and then for like about 3 years in college, I actually worked for I worked in a tennis shop up in Griffith Park. Then like I said, then we went to the school bus company. I worked there for 7 years driving a school bus for handicapped kids. And then it was like, oh man, I love this job and I love these kids, but I've got to find some way where I can have a future. And so a couple of the gals that actually worked at this bus company said, you need to go to Chevron and because they're hiring women. And I said, oh wow, okay. So I went there, filled out an application, had the interview. 6 months later, I was working for them. So I worked for Chevron for 10 years. Actually started out working in the field, and then unfortunately I had some knee problems. But luckily they wanted to keep me, so they put me in an office job. And from there, I did a lot of computer work, and then I started working with the environmental guy. And then about 1992, Chevron started to pull out of the LA basin. They left all of their production fields. Either they sold them or they abandoned them developed them for, housing. Mm-hmm. Then I went to a small company, worked for a small company in Long Beach called the Termo Company. I worked there for 23 years. So I worked in the, no, 24 years. I worked in the oil industry for almost 35 years.
Wow. Long-termer. Wow. Long jobs. Busy woman. Busy women. Wow. Now you're all retired and
yes.
Living the life.
Yes. And it's wonderful.
It was well worth all that hard work, let me tell you.
Wow. Cool. You know, as I'm sitting here listening to your stories and going back a bit, Raylan, I'm just really curious about you and speaking as far as speaking and telling your story. I mean, it's just so powerful. I mean, what you had to go through and then this tragedy. I mean, have you ever thought about doing any speaking for groups to share your story?
No, I really never have. It's just I never thought it would be interesting to anybody, but I suppose it might help someone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, this could be your first step.
In yes,
maybe
first
thinking
step.
About that, because you know, when we meet people who have really overcome a lot of adversity and they're still alive and thriving, mm-hmm. it's like, wow, how did you get there when you started out in such a dire emergency situation and people, you know, you were so alone that it seemed like sharing your story would be a lot of richness to it, you know? So, yeah, I encourage you, like Diana, to... think about it, you know. You know, nowadays you can just film yourself. Sharon could film you. You could talk about it, put it on YouTube. Boom, it's done. You know, you don't have to wait for this big invitation. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get on TED Talks. You could do your own talk, you know, if you're not too shy, that is. I know you're very shy, but just think about it, you know.
Yeah, look at that smile.
So let's get back to how you met, because from my understanding, both of your stories are a little different on how you met. Now, I know you met in college and you're PE majors, and who'd like to start? Because I want to hear the difference in your interpretations.
I'll go ahead and start,
okay.
Because I didn't know. So it's going to be a little different when Raylan gets to that point. Like we had discussed before, we hung out in the same groups, had a lot of the same classes, did a lot of things together. I knew I liked Raylan a lot, but didn't think of it in terms of sexuality or anything. So when my parents moved and I needed to, you know, move out and find an apartment, I asked Raylan if she'd be interested in sharing an apartment, and she said she would. It wasn't until we moved in that Raylan finally had guts enough to say, "Hey, I'm gay." And I said, "Well, so am I." So, you know, that's when it all came together. I think it was a matter of we were afraid to say something to each other because I don't know if we were sure that the other person was. So
how old were you when you knew you were gay?
Oh, gosh, I was a kid. But I think I tried to hide it to a certain degree. I was never real feminine, never cared about, you know, dressing up in all the dresses and all that kind of stuff. But I think I tried dating guys and it just didn't do anything for me. You have to be who you are.
But so, you have an age? Is there an age in mind that you know, like fifth grade what grade?
No, I think I was even younger than that. I was probably by 7 years old. Huh? I think I pretty much knew, but you know, I wasn't sure. Mm-hmm. I think it, you know, you're at that point when you're that young that I played with nothing but boys. Mm-hmm. You know, I would play baseball and football and, you know, all of those kinds of things. Our neighborhood had a lot of boys, mm-hmm. And just a few girls.
Mm-hmm. You had any brothers or sisters?
No, I'm an only child.
Oh, only child.
So is Raylan.
So am I.
Oh, wow.
So is my cousin Tony.
Whoa.
Interesting. Did any of the other girls on the block play with you all?
Yes, we had a couple that did, and you know, but it wasn't something that I knew for sure at that point. I don't think I even knew what being gay was at that point. Yeah. I just knew that I liked doing boy things better than I did doing girl things. I didn't care about playing with dolls or, you know, I was more comfortable playing with army men and playing football and baseball and all of those kinds of things.
And no other adults in your life who looked a certain way or acted a certain way or that your parents talked about being different? I know we had one. Seemed like
no, my mother was pretty much raised me because my parents got divorced when I was 6. She was very open. And the one thing she always taught me is you respect everyone. We had a woman who a young lady who lived across the street and had a mental disability. And she taught me, you always treat her with respect. I'd see other kids tease her. And, you know, I would stick up for her and you know, I always treated her with respect. And I think that's part of being gay as well. I'm not saying that people who are straight can't show respect. I don't mean that at all. I think you learn because of all you go through to respect everyone, no matter how they are, what they are. We all have disabilities, at, you know, no matter what.
Thank you, Sharon. So, Raylynn,
yes.
How is your version of your of Sharon's story different as far as
the way you,
know,
where you, when you met,
yeah.
How you met?
Well, I don't know. I don't think that the story is really all that much different. It's just that I think I just knew pretty much right away that she was the one, and I was going to one day that I was going to make that happen, and finally it did. You know, we got that chance. We moved in together, and we've been together ever since.
So for the 4 years you were friends,
yes,
you knew that she was the one for
yes.
you.
Yes.
And Sharon had no clue.
No clue.
She must have had some inkling because she never went away. She always stuck around.
Right. I always
and there
stuck
was
around.
No, and there was no one else, was there?
No.
Oh.
No.
Lurking about?
No.
Okay. Cool. Wonderful. Wonderful. Raylynn, so what about you when you were, what you say you knew that you were different, but at what age did you think was your coming out? When you know, not coming out, but when you knew something?
Well, I was always, forever, and it seems like forever. But I guess I was about 4 or 5 years old. And you know how they always ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? Mm-hmm. I said, well, I want to be a cowboy. And so they're all looking at me like, "But you can't be a cowboy. You're not a boy." Mm-hmm. And so I'm going, oh, you know, so then that started me thinking, okay, I'm not a boy. And okay, so there are girls and they're boys. And so when I knew that, but then it got to me thinking, because I'm looking at all the other little girls and I'm saying, oh, that's not me. And that will never be me, you know. So because like Sharon, I like playing the boy things, football, baseball, Cowboys and Indians, Army. And for me, I grew up with nothing but boys. But then there was no girls on my street. It was me and three other boys. Mm.
Did you see yourself as a boy then?
Well, I suppose, you know, when I was really, really young, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I did. I was okay being a girl. But I just wanted to be my kind of girl,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
and that,
mm-hmm, yeah.
And unfortunately, that was even was kind of difficult because as I grew older, I still wanted to do these boy things. Mm-hmm. In fact, I when I was a little kid, I ran around with nothing but shorts and barefoot, nothing else, nothing on top, nothing, just practically, you know, naked. Mm-hmm. And then as I got older, you know, I got to be about 10 and 11. And well, I couldn't do that anymore, and it was confusing. Why this is who I am, you know? And then as I started to develop, you know, female breasts and things like that, mm-hmm, I realized why I couldn't do that anymore, and it's just like, oh, that's a bummer.
Mm. Did you know what was going to happen to you in puberty? Did your mom?
She talked to me about that, and I think at the time, I'm thinking, yeah, that might be, you know, that might be happening to you, but that's not going to happen to me. That just sounds awful.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, I remember wanting to be a boy when I was growing up because I was taking out the garbage one day, which was my job, and I thought to myself, gosh, I wish I was a boy, and then I could do this all the time.
Yes.
Take out the garbage.
Yes.
you know, because that was my dad's job. And for some reason, I was doing it that day or something. But it's too bad that, you know, children can't do both or all or whatever without a stigma. You know, and hopefully we can get to those times, you know.
Hopefully, yes.
The way things are going now with young people with non-gender conforming, non-binary, saying them and they versus he or she. And
the spectrum is much wider than just being boxed, you know, in one category, two categories, you know. So that's a blessing.
Well, I got it. You know, when we got married, I became very emotional at that point because I never thought in our lifetime
we'd ever be able to do that.
And it really, you know, hit home with me. It really hit my heart that we were going to be able to, in our lifetime, be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Us too. And I'm really, really happy for you both, you know. Stepping up and stepping out, and you know, it's a wonderful thing.
Well, it's certainly easier to be to step out here in Northern California than it is in Southern California, and I'm not saying it's terrible there, but it's just different. Mm-hmm. Everybody is so accepting. Mm. Here. So, you know, the move has been wonderful for us.
It has. Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Do you go back? Do you let people know what you're doing, who you are these days? I mean,
we went back this last April to take care of business and see friends. And you know, our friends were always accepting, very accepting.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We never had any issues. In fact, my BFF, he was our best man at our wedding, and he's very straight. So all of our friends have been extremely accepting all these years. Mm. And those people who aren't, you don't really need them in your life.
No.
You don't need that negativity.
No. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of which, I think this is a really great time for you to go into words of wisdom for our audience. Because you just are saying some really profound things. And we always like to end our show, which it is about that time that we have to end our show, unfortunately, to ask you both for your words of wisdom to anyone who's listening out there. Older folks who maybe live at Fountain Grove might listen to the show. Younger folks, you know, who are just coming out might be listening to the show. Well, what words of wisdom do you have for anyone listening? Sharon, would you go first?
Sure. I think it's important that you need to be yourself, because it doesn't matter what gender you align yourself with. There's always going to be people who don't like you. Doesn't make any difference whether you're straight, gay, whatever. And you need to keep that negativity out of your life. You don't need it. Keep the people who are open to you and accept you for who you are. And move on with your life, because even if you lose those people, another door opens and someone new will come in. You'll make new friends.
Thank you, Sharon. How about you, Raylan? Words of wisdom.
I just think you have to follow your own path, but be respectful of others, and just take every day one day at a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like you did in high school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just want to mention one thing that maybe if you want to respond to, you can. I mean, it's not a political show and we don't have much time, but if you want to make a statement about what Trump just did, President Trump, you feel free to just say what you want to say about that, banning the transgender from being in the military.
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to join the military, but never seemed to find the right time in my life, but to do that, but and maybe it's a good thing. The military, man, it's just, I would think it'd be very hard for those people to join the military, But I also think that if that's what they choose, they should be able to. Hmm. When that's going to be able to happen, I don't know. It's just a hard question. It truly is.
It's, yeah.
Well, I was reading, just happened to read today about a person who is in the military and is transgender, and basically he said, "You just try and kick me out of my military."
My military.
Mm. You know, these people are defending our country.
Yes.
Just like anybody else is. And, you know, if we were at war, they'd have bullets flying by them just like anybody else.
Bullets don't discriminate.
Yes, no, they don't.
Exactly.
No, they don't.
Yes.
We need to find a way to be able to accommodate people for who they are.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I just want to bring that to the forefront and not ignore this major issue and concern in our community. It's ridiculous, and I can say more and more about that. But we have to stand strong, and we have to keep fighting.
So one way that we're fighting, Diana is fighting, is her play is going to be performed at the Raven Theater on August 12th and 13th. There is a transgender character. There's four vignettes that have a lot to do with what you all talked about as far as finally being able to marry in our lifetime. So I encourage everyone listening to go to the play and see it August 12th and 13th at the Raven Theater. And you can find out more information at privatelies.com. And you, Sharon and Raylene, you all went to the play.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
It was so moving.
Yes, it
was.
We
absolutely loved it. That part where I had mentioned about getting married and not thinking that would ever happen, truly happened and hit me during that play. But all the vignettes were totally appropriate. We loved it.
Yep, we did. It was very... It truly was emotional for me. That's truly it. And we need to be saying these things. People need to hear this.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Thank
so much.
Thank you. So
nice
much.
Testimonial for you, Diana.
Yeah.
Remember, like Sharon and Raylene, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, you can support others in being free and living their lives authentically. It's another way to help the world. And like them, like Sharon and Raylene, you too can be visible and vibrant in telling your story. Just give us a call. And this is Diana and Sheridan, and we'll be back next month. Until then,
good night.
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way, can't stop me now, then you can do the same, yeah. What have you done today to make you feel proud? It's never too late to try. What have you done today to make you feel proud? Mm-hmm. You could be so many.
Support for Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM comes from members and from Sonoma West Publishers, bringing you the Sonoma West Times and News, the Healdsburg Tribune, the Cloverdale Reveille, and the Windsor Times, providing independent journalism and local community conversations in print and online at sonomawest.com. You're listening to Radio 91, 91.1 KRCB-FM Windsor, and 90.9 K215CQ Santa Rosa, on the air, online, or on the go. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Open Space District is next.